give me your take on where we are with this. I mean, a really, really fired up speech there in Charleston yesterday. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, it was an electric setting. I mean, it was a real honor to be there at a pretty historic moment. You know, it's rare that you can be in the room when a top-tier candidate announces for president. And for me, it's you know, my home state governor, so it was all the more special. I think where we go from here is that we're looking at a situation now, unless someone else gets in that we're not expecting, that the Republican nominee is going to be either Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, or Michelle Bachmann. We're down really to three people. There are other people who are going to continue running, and maybe if they sort of find lightning in a bottle, they can maybe have something happen. But ultimately, that's who the nominee is going to be, one of those three people. And I think from my standpoint, I'm reasonably convinced it's either going to be Perry or Romney. I think Bachmann may still win the Iowa caucuses, but it's hard to see her actually becoming the nominee, and even harder to see her actually beating Obama in the general election. So we're really down to two people.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I think you were being kind of charitable leaving Bachmann in there. Everything I hear is it's down to those two guys, Perry and Romney.
Well, yeah, what I'd say about Bachmann, you know, is I think she's overperformed really at every stage of this. I mean, she did very well in the CNN debate 2 months ago. She did reasonably well in the Fox News debate in Iowa. She barely won the Iowa straw poll by about 150 votes over Ron Paul. I mean, imagine the dynamic if she'd actually lost to Ron Paul, even if it was only by a small margin. I mean, the entire dynamic would be different. But she did get a boost of momentum. She got a victory. She's in a strong position in Iowa. And now Perry and Bachmann will compete in Iowa, and then Perry and Romney will compete in New Hampshire, and then I think Perry wins South Carolina. At that point, I think it's a two-man race.
Give me your take on all the talk now about the economy and the Texas economy in particular. I mean, I heard the chair of the DNC today saying it was ridiculous for Rick Perry to take full credit for what's going on in Texas. And, you know, in some instances, you see the Obama folks already, poking holes in the Texas economic story. You saw David Axelrod on Friday with what he had to say. There's some truth to it when these folks will say, look, the Texas model is not something that Rick Perry can take complete credit for. But at the same time, you know, if somebody steps into a leadership role and they're there for 10 years, the very least you could say is, well, at least they didn't mess it up.
Well, sure. I mean, I think there's a couple things to mention off the top there. Number one is, I mean, the Democrat National Committee loves to talk about consecutive months of job growth at the federal level, even though unemployment's increased and we've got, you know, 14 million people out of work and 10 million who have either given up looking or underemployed. So they don't mind taking credit to the extent they're able to at the national level. But then when a governor in a state who has a good record tries to take credit, then it's obviously that's something that they want to criticize. So there's a little bit of duplicity there. But you know, secondly, look, Texas has some inherent advantages that were there before Perry got there. I mean, there's no question the state already had no state income tax, and that's a benefit. It's a right to work state. He didn't change that. That was a benefit. That being said, he has been singularly focused on job creation, on keeping regulations low, taxes low, closing two very large budget gaps over his tenure without raising taxes, and on really targeting corporations who are in high tax states and bringing them into Texas, corporations from places like California, Illinois, New York, and other places. Look, he's been extremely successful. I think the Democrats are scared to death of his job creation record. What's really amazing about this is I think when it comes to job creation, Perry has a stronger record than Romney does. And I think so on the number one issue, Perry has a stronger record than Romney does. And I think that it was hard to see someone having a better record on jobs in the economy than Romney, given his experience. But based on what's happened in Texas, Perry has it.
Is it not fair to say that if it had not been for the economic stimulus in 2009, when the legislature and Perry were looking at a huge budget shortfall, and according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, covered the gap, 97% of that gap was stimulus money, that he probably would have had to raise taxes at the time? There probably would have been no other way to balance the budget. Now, we don't know that because we had the stimulus, and you can't go back and figure out what history would be like exactly. I mean, they could have tried to cut, but in the estimation of most people, they would not have been able to cut their way out of that. Would he even be in a position to be a presidential candidate if it had not been for the economic stimulus?
Well, a couple points on that. I think the first is, look, I mean, those Texas taxpayers pay the federal government. That money was coming back to them in the stimulus, so I think it's perfectly reasonable that Texas taxpayers would benefit from their own tax dollars being sent to Washington through the federal government in the form of the stimulus. That doesn't change the fact that Governor Perry was opposed to the stimulus because he thought it wasn't going to work. And in fact, history proved that it didn't work based on the administration's own standards of keeping unemployment at 8% or below. Look, I think if they hadn't had the stimulus, I think he would have made a lot of the same choices, and the legislature would have as well, in terms of taking money out of the rainy day fund, making some painful cuts that they did. I think, it would have made this session even tougher because Texas does does have a structural deficit. Look, Texas faces some problems, and a lot of those problems are generated by legal and illegal immigration due to its proximity to Mexico, but also to the explosive growth that we're seeing. You know, 1,000 people a day moving to Texas creates tremendous pressure on state government and on government services. Ultimately, though, look, Texas is a state that any state would change places with in a heartbeat. Ask any governor, you know, off the record, if they would rather be in a situation, the fiscal situation that Texas is in, and every single state would trade places with Texas. So I think that really speaks volumes.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thanks so much.